This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, hello. Welcome to another episode of You Don't Know Billy Jack. My name is Drew, and I'm joined, of course, by Jordan. Hello.
Hello.
How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm hanging in there by a thread.
Yeah, as we all are, huh?
Yeah, we're seeing a pretty ugly match tonight, Trump v. Biden.
Oh, are we? Well, yeah, that's what we're going to watch tonight.
Did you just queue up the debate? Is that?
Yeah, that's we're going to do live commentary over the debate.
Yeah.
Talk about a work, huh?
Yeah.
No, we're going to watch something more real than that. We're going to watch pro wrestling.
That's right.
Anything to say? Any thoughts before we get to it here?
No, I'm tentative on this screen you've got me paused on, so I'm curious to see where this is gonna go.
Okay, well, what are you paused on? What does it look like?
It's these like glittering stars are hovering over what looks I'm pretty sure is the Undertaker.
Great.
And then this bizarre man with long blonde hair, I think. And he looks tiny compared to the Undertaker, so interested.
So we'll see, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, so in case you don't know, the match we are going to be watching tonight is the Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels from WrestleMania 25. Again, this is a match that some people say is the best match ever in professional wrestling. So we will see about that and see what you have to say about that. So if you have not listened to us before, this is a live watch podcast. What we do is, you know, I am a longtime wrestling fan. Jordan is not at all. And it's very much opposed to the idea of it. But he's a good sport, and we are going to do a live watch-along of this match, considered to be by some the greatest ever, and we're just going to get Jordan's thoughts on it. So we are at one. It's WrestleMania 25, Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels. We are at 1 hour, 48 minutes and 7 seconds. Have you heard? You've heard of the Undertaker before, correct?
He is a known entity to me.
Yes.
But I just thought they drag him out once a year or something. They put him back in a coffin or whatever.
Kind of, yeah. At this point, no, he was a full-time wrestler.
Okay, so had been whatever a season is or a year or whatever. He was involved.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
At this point, he was. And then Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kid. Have you ever heard of him?
I've heard the name. I don't really know anything about him.
You've probably heard Drake talk about him before. Drake will often lament about how he loved Shawn Michaels as a kid, but Shawn Michaels was essentially a male stripper at one point. So Drake would really, really feel shame about that. So
there's a heartbreak right there. So the namesake is true.
Yep.
Curious to see this guy now. He delivers.
Yeah, he broke Drake's heart.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to it here, shall we?
We shall.
So again, 1 hour 48 seconds. Come on.
you didn't do your diaphragm stuff.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm not speaking from the diaphragm. I'm just so tired. I'm just so tired in my life, you know.
Well, let's escape. Let us escape now to a wonderful, magical world.
magical world where Undertakers and male strippers do battle on the grandest stage of them all.
Yeah.
All right. 1 hour, 48 minutes, and 7 seconds. We will go 3, 2, 1, play. All right?
Got ready? It.
3, 2, 1, play.
I'm in.
All right. And here we go. So we have... Look at him. That's look at the Undertaker.
That's a goofy-looking picture of the other guy, too.
Yeah, he has a lazy eye.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't trying to clown on him for that. It was
I get it. No, I understand. Yeah, you don't like people with disabilities. I understand that.
Yeah,
believe
make sure
me.
To broadcast that to everyone.
Yeah, believe me. I know all about that with you.
Right.
Now, can you hear? You can hear the audio here.
I can.
Okay, and so I'm. Could you actually turn that up a little bit?
Yeah. How's that? That's as high as I can go.
No, that's good. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So we do want to be able to hear, hear the audio a little bit. So.
Yeah.
Are you kind of paid? This is a background video, of.
Yeah, I'm seeing the intensity.
Yeah, you see those flames?
Yeah, it's a pretty... There's a little bit of budget value here. They actually got some money going.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, by this time... So, this is 2009.
Okay.
I mean, this is... They're hot and heavy.
They're well set, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. They're the only... By this point, they're the only company... You know, the only major company in the whole country.
Okay.
And have been for some time now by this point, so.
God, I hate that. I hate that tongue thing he does.
Do you?
It's really disturbing. I guess, I mean, effect achieved. He wants to be disturbing, but.
Yes. It's just hard for you to deal with.
I'm not familiar with this guy.
Okay, so you never. That makes sense. I mean, that he's certainly not somebody that would have. Popped up on your radar just as a non-believer.
Like the name's there. I recognize the name, but
yeah. But you've never, yeah, you've never
like
seen
I couldn't
him.
Have, yeah, I couldn't have picked this guy out like of a lineup or anything.
Oh, okay. Okay, not even the heart pants or anything?
No. Whereas like when was Triple H?
I mean
like his heyday.
His heyday was early 2000, the late 90s, like 97, 98 through maybe 2005, you could say.
Okay.
I mean,
so
really.
Somehow I can pick that guy out of a lineup. I don't know how, but.
Yeah, so that is interesting. How?
Yeah, so that was, they were marketing to something that I don't know.
Yeah, he probably had a little bit more mainstream appeal, I guess. You maybe like he did stuff with like yeah. Motorhead, for instance.
Yeah, I just know his face somehow, but
yeah, that's interesting. So, are you getting any of the?
Dude, this is cool.
The,
yeah. Yeah.
The story
cool.
here. Yeah, I knew you would like this.
Yeah, this is cool.
Look at that.
Yeah, this is cool.
Yeah. So early thoughts here. Who are you going to be rooting for?
Oh, Michaels, for sure.
Of course.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. He's right up your alley.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think he's already my favorite wrestler.
Yeah.
Haven't seen a move yet.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
dude,
I can
the
tell.
The coffin.
Yeah.
That's cool. I do like that.
Yeah. They love the coffin.
Yeah.
So this is, I'm trying to think. We would have watched the Macho Man versus Ricky Steamboat. Do you remember that? That was a WrestleMania match.
Yeah, that was cool.
And we watched Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Bret Hart. Do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah, so this will be the third WWF match that we would have watched. So okay. this you're able to see the progression of the company here a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is big time for sure.
Yeah, I mean, this is like, there's nothing cheap about this.
Absolutely not. No, this is, I mean, I'm not kidding. This is the production value is like pretty crazy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they don't know what to do with it. Like when the picture of him is all like, it's all like touched up and like well done, but it's really goofy and like a bad picture.
Yes.
So it's like, that's like them, you know?
Yeah.
Like they've got the money to make it happen, but there's no like taste.
There's no taste. Yeah.
But that's cool. I mean, yeah, this is awesome.
Yes.
He's coming down from a podium and there's dry ice for days.
Yeah. Yeah, he's descending from heaven.
That is cool.
Yeah. He's wearing all white.
You knew I'd like this guy.
Yes, I did. That's honestly, that's part of why, like, the video, the build-up video and his entrance is part of why I wanted you to watch this.
Yeah, this is pretty gnarly, dude.
Yeah. And look at his jacket, has the cross on it.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people there.
A lot of people. So this is. Oh boy, WrestleMania 25. Where was that?
It's not in a stationary place every year.
No, it moves around to different stadiums. Where was WrestleMania 25? Was it? Could it have been in Texas?
Dude, he's praying.
Or yes.
This guy's gnarly, dude.
Yes, he is.
And the fireworks.
Yeah. So, a little background on him. He is, like, notoriously one of, like, the worst attitudes in wrestling history.
Like, what's an attitude?
Meaning he has one of the worst attitudes in wrestling history.
Oh, got it. Okay.
He was just like a notorious troublemaker, always caused problems like backstage. He would never want, if he was like the champion, he would never want to lose the title. And so he would always like have these injuries where like he would have to be like stripped of the title because he wouldn't want to lose a match. And just like a baby.
Yeah.
Such a baby. So the religion stuff, like he supposedly, you know, legitimately changed his life and like became a Christian.
Are you serious?
Yes. Yeah, dead serious.
Okay.
Yeah, like he I guess say what you will about the guy, like there's a noticeable difference in like his attitude and everything.
Okay.
Post. And I don't know when exactly that happened. It would have been, I think, the late 90s, early 2000s. I'm not the best with the history here, but
yeah,
he went away. He retired temporarily for a few years in like 1998. He came back in the early 2000s, and by then he had, he had become a Christian. I mean, some people think
he's all like kayfabe or whatever they call it. Like,
well, I mean, it's
these
not
guys are
his,
just such hams. Like,
of course, yeah. So honestly, I don't know. I mean, that's not presented as part of his character. Like, he's a Christian. I mean, it is here.
Yeah, gratuitously so.
Yeah, but in general, not. So I don't know. He could. This could all be like him, you know, just trying to get sympathy from people. But he's kept it up for 20 years.
Crazy.
Which again, it's not necessarily out of the realm of possibility. But
yeah, the long con.
Yes. Yeah. So. It could be, but I mean, the thing is that he's much different in interviews. He's much different, like politically, meaning like him backstage. After that happened, he was not like a pain to work with or anything.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, and like, there's a lot of like inside interviews with him and stuff, and he brings it up, but he's like, he's very honest and you know, forthcoming about the person he was and the issues that he was having at the time, and you know, that he's not that person anymore. So again, like, you can't be sure. I mean, maybe it is just, you know,
part of the beauty.
That's part of it, right? But I mean, by all accounts, yes, he is a changed person. So,
epic intro.
This is epic.
This is the heaviest intro I can remember out of the ones we've seen.
Oh yeah, I mean this is the real deal. I mean, this is.
Man, there are a lot of people there.
Look at that.
Crazy.
This is why people like WWF.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk. Okay, so this is in it's Houston, Texas.
This
is where that is. Yeah. So I mean, you know, Houston, Texas, at some whatever Astrodome or something. A lot of people.
So many people. It's just like, yeah, impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, compare this, like, I don't know if you can remember some of those Japanese matches we watched. The real good Japanese matches.
Yeah.
Where, look, those have their own like epic feel to them, right?
Definitely.
But it's guys coming out of a locker room straight into the ring. And I mean, it's a packed house there, but it's 16,000-17,000 people. This is 75,000 people, and the entrances. I mean, how long have we been watching this?
Yeah,
already.
And I mean, you're taking your kid to this kind of thing. It's like a movie.
Yes, yes. This is why people like WWF.
Yeah, they definitely give you that sugar rush.
Yeah. I mean, that Undertaker entrance, you know, I mean, that's the real deal. And like it's all timed perfectly.
Yeah. Look. Dude.
Shawn Michaels does have a bit of an undershave.
Yeah, I saw that. He is scary, the Undertaker guy. He is freaking frightening.
Yes. Yeah, he is. I mean, he's from Texas. He's like he's a full on like big like gnarly Texan.
Yeah, I can feel that for sure.
Yeah, like he's got a neck tattoo and sleeves, and you know, like he's a big guy.
Yeah, he is.
So here we are. We're underway now. I mean,
there's movement here.
Yeah, and you feel it. Like, this is like a big deal.
Yeah, because we watched the only time I remember seeing The Undertaker is when you forced me to watch one of these more recent ones.
Yeah.
And they just kind of dragged his carcass out and not much really happened.
Exactly.
And then they pin the guy down, and then he goes back to sleep or whatever happens.
Yeah, yeah. At this point, and I think he's...
This has like a lot of activity already.
Yeah, and at this point, in 2020, he has said he's retired. I don't know how long that'll last.
Yeah.
But by the end of it, it was really... You just wanted to see his entrance at WrestleMania.
Right.
You know, but here, I mean, he's a full-time wrestler, and they're moving around, and I mean, you can see he's moving. Oh,
dude.
Look at that. Did you see him do the suck it thing?
I saw the suck it.
Not very
and
Christian.
And then he instantly asked for like a, hey, lay off me for a second.
Yeah.
He landed wrong.
Yeah. He's faking it. Not very Christian.
Yeah.
Sad, huh?
Sad, huh? Yeah. So, like, where is this the main thing that people are watching at this WrestleMania, or is there more after this? Like,
no. No, so it's funny you mentioned Triple H and then asked that question. So, Triple H notoriously during this stretch, maybe 2000. So I said his peak was like 2005. He was like a top guy until probably 2010, okay. 2011, 2010, let's say. So he would notoriously, like, there would be, he would always have to have the last match at WrestleMania. Like,
so
he's
kind
event.
Of a baby too.
Yes. Yeah. Not as like pouty. Well, as Shawn Michaels, but also Triple H is. Do you know who he is backstage or anything?
I think you had told me one time that he is somehow related to the McMahon guy.
Yes, so he married Vince McMahon's daughter.
He married into the family.
Yes, yeah.
And
is
that a legal marriage, or is this all part of the, like, theater?
No, it's a legal marriage. They did have that part of the theater as well, but it's a legal marriage. They have children and everything.
Okay.
I mean, a sham, of course, but
sure.
You know, in the eyes of the law, they're legally yeah. wed. So, I mean, he kind of runs the company and has for several years. Even back at this point, he was pretty involved. So.
Sure.
It wasn't as much him, like, being pouty and, like, not doing the right thing. It was more, this is kind of like my company and I'm going to do what I want type of thing.
Yeah.
But so he has this match. He has the main event after this match.
Got it.
And it's a match that is, like, not good and no one wants to see and no one cares about.
They want this.
They want this. This is why everybody's here. I mean, you yeah. can hear the crowd.
Yeah, they're into it for sure.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's just that. But he has, like, a reputation for doing that. It's notorious. And it goes back years and years. There's so many examples of it where you get this, like, great match at WrestleMania, and then the Triple H match comes on. And another thing is he has to have the longest match too.
Good.
So it's very okay. So another little Triple H thing. Do you know that band, Code Orange?
Yeah, John's band.
Yeah,
that's the only way I know him.
I mean, yeah, that's fine. So they did. They performed on WWE at a live show, or maybe they did a recording for them or something. But at a certain point, Triple H went to one of their practices.
Oh my gosh.
And was, like, just sitting there listening to him practice and was, like, headbanging and throwing up the horns.
Gosh, dude.
Just think
that's
about
crazy.
That.
That's crazy. That's crazy. That's a lot. Just, that's a lot to take in.
It's a lot to take in.
I can't think of like a worse thing at a practice than Triple H showing up and, like,
yeah.
just kind of watching and headbanging and giving you the horns.
Yeah, like stoked.
Yeah, like yeah. stoked.
Yeah, there's nothing. There's nothing worse. So like,
there's nothing worse.
No, it's like there's that. There's a few years ago they did a thing where he fought Brock Lesnar, and Brock Lesnar supposedly broke his arm with a submission hold, broke Triple H's arm, and so Triple H came out with, like, a cast on or some kind of big brace or something, and then between, you know, that was on, like, Monday Night Raw, between Monday and Monday on that weekend, I think he was at a big, like, he was walking out at a big, like, MMA fight or a big boxing match or something. He was walking out with one of the fighters, And he didn't have the thing on, you know.
Dude, yes.
Which is like, come on.
Yeah, that's great.
You know.
That's cool. The Showboat.
Yes. So it's very good. So have you been kind of paying attention to what's going on here?
Yeah, they've been hitting pretty hard and heavy. There's not really a lot of fooling around, really.
Right. Yeah.
They've only been on the ground for like a couple minutes, for instance.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of big moves and big gestures, right?
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Question.
Yes.
So, do they ever have inappropriate signage and like someone has to go get the sign?
Certainly in the past, they certainly did. It doesn't happen.
I have to imagine there's been some pretty gnarly signs.
Oh, goodness, yeah. I mean, there's whole like Instagram accounts dedicated to wrestling signs. In the earlier, have you heard the term the Attitude Era?
Yeah,
I've heard that phrase before. So that's when it was like for bad boys.
Yes.
There would be tons of signs in the crowd, and it was a lot of just real crude stuff.
Bad.
Yeah. Now they'll definitely scan the crowd, and if there's anything like they're not going to have like an F word or, you know, like bad language or like, you know, racist stuff or anything. They're not going to have that.
Yeah.
They'll go and they'll confiscate.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, cause the aesthetic is so dialed in now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And that's one thing like Vince McMahon. I mean, he is who he is and, you know, whatever. And say what you will about WWE, like as whatever they present as professional wrestling. One thing that's undeniable is like the aesthetic is so like there's so much time and energy put into the aesthetic, and he knows exactly what he wants, you know?
Right.
Which is like, that's, I have like endless respect for that. Even if the aesthetic is like truly the worst thing. In every regard, you know?
Yeah, he's sticking by it.
Yeah, that's it. It's like, it's the lowest common denominator reflection of popular culture. And, and he's done that for like 35 years.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's so impressive that he has stuck to that. You know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Like it's really something. So anyways, thoughts on this match so far?
Yeah, it's moving at a good clip. I heard the term crossface crippler. I like that.
Yeah, you know whose move that was.
The guy who was sad.
Yes. The guy who was sad. That
right?
That was his move. Yeah.
So is that anyone else's like signature move?
Well, no, and I'm actually really surprised that they let him do that. Because I figured they would have not least not called it that.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, pretty impressive. So you're getting, I mean, just think about, yes. Think about how, do you remember that match? It was Nick Bockwinkel versus Kurt Hennig. It was the hour-long, yeah, you really liked that one. Hour-long draw, it was bloody and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
Just think about the difference between that match and this match.
Yeah, I'll have to dig a little bit into my brain.
Yeah, sure. But it just, that one was like, they were on the ground.
It felt more like solemn, right? And more like, yeah, like a lot of holds and that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is pretty like bombastic.
Yeah.
And now they're out of the ring, and whenever they're out of the ring, the ref gets like upset, right? They're supposed to be in the ring, right?
Supposed to be in the ring. They're supposed to only have a 10 count.
You know,
the ref will count to 10. But they're like, if one person gets back in the ring, they stop the count. So it's, I mean, of course, the whole thing is dubious anyways. They'll just
It's all arbitrary, really, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're...
Yeah.
Say that again.
I do always find it... I find the out-of-ring time fascinating.
Yeah? Why is that?
Because they... I don't know. It's like they're not supposed to be out there, but we all, like, want them to be and expect them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a weird, like... it's like an unnegotiated space, like... And you get the feeling that like anything could happen.
Yeah, I mean that's
it's the same, you know, as any other part of the match, but like something, the feeling changes.
Yeah, I mean that's the entire point of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the exact purpose. Oh,
dude,
look at
that! Sketchy. That looked really haphazard. So either, I don't know what that was, but
so he was trying to do. So Shawn Michaels, Undertaker on the outside. Shawn Michaels got up on the turnbuckle, did a backflip off the turnbuckle, and missed the Undertaker. So essentially, they just did a backflip from the top of the turnbuckle to the ground.
Yeah, and the ground does not look soft.
No, I mean there's padding there. It's like
like a wrestling lightly padded. Yeah.
Yeah, a wrestling mat. So.
But like it's not giving at all. Like when they were walking on it.
No.
So it can't be that padded.
I mean, what are those wrestling mats? They're a couple inches thick.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like if you jump from that high, you're not. That's not going to make much of a difference.
No, it's not. Yeah, now did you see the Undertaker sit up and the people cheer?
Yes.
That's kind of a signature thing of his.
Okay.
Where you think he's dead and he sits right back up.
He rises again, as it were.
He rises again, yeah.
Whoa, ooh, he went, whoa, yikes, dude. He just took that camera, that's a cameraman, right?
Yes.
Okay, that was crazy, and Now I don't know what to believe, because that was planned.
Yeah, now that was, we'll see that again. Tell me, and you saw that he essentially just kind of landed on the top of his head too. did you catch that part?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
was
insane.
He's a big guy.
His head is huge.
His head is huge. He's got a big head.
It's like as big as my like trunk.
Yeah. He's got a big head. Well, let's watch this now.
Right there.
Yeah.
Dude. That was crazy. That was cool.
Yeah. Look at that angle where it does, you don't see him hit, you just see the ring and he just goes down.
I mean, I don't care if that was staged. That was cool.
Yeah. So the cameraman is that's a fake cameraman.
Yeah. I'm gathering that upon seeing the replay, it feels more like it.
Yeah. Yeah. But
the move was really good.
Well, say that again.
The move was really good.
Yeah. It
on everybody's part.
Yes, except for the cameraman, because he was supposed to be, he was out of position. He was supposed to catch the Undertaker, like he was supposed to be closer to him.
Sure, yeah.
So he didn't just go straight down onto the top of his head. but he did.
Horrible.
And and so kind of what's happening right now. Yeah, so you could see that that guy was too far back.
Yeah.
And so that cameraman, I think they really, really got him in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Because he was just like some hired guy. And I want to say he's like someone's relative or something.
But not a professional wrestler.
Right. Or maybe like an independent wrestler or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Something. But I don't know the full backstory on it. But so now did you see kind of Shawn Michaels, him pleading with the referee like that?
Yeah.
Did you catch any of that?
A little bit. I saw him like slapping the ref around and like pleading with him.
Yeah, so you see he's very upset now. What's the countdown? I can't hear.
7.
Okay, let's see.
He's at 8.
Oh boy. Made it in.
Oh, he did it.
Yep.
His head is red and bulbous.
Yeah. And that's how it was before the match, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not talking about right now.
Right, yeah.
I'm going to ask you another question about the signs.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of fascinated by this. It seems like they all know when that camera angle appears. Because a lot of times the camera will come and then a couple seconds will pass and then everyone will hold up their signs.
Yeah, I
mean, is that just, or are they just doing that the entire time and it just looks like that?
Yeah, they're doing that the entire time because that's just a hard camera. There's no one really manning that or anything.
That's what I thought. It just felt like, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no way to know.
I guess I'm just kind of fascinated by the signage. That's all.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. So are you getting the sense now? Did you see what happened just then? Big choke slam.
Yes. Yeah.
That's like one of his signature moves.
Yeah. The crowd has like turned it up a notch.
Yeah. So that's like a big kick out. Yeah. Big. That's a big moment that he didn't kick out of that.
Yeah.
Are you seeing like kind of the dramatic play that's happening here now?
Yeah, yeah, it feel. Yeah, it.
So that's Shawn Michaels, like his special move.
They're playing to each other's like special moves.
Yeah. Yes. So let's see here. Here we go. Oh, look at that. Did you think that was the end of the match?
I didn't think so, but I wasn't sure. They're keeping me guessing.
Okay.
The super kick.
The super kick, yeah. Sweet chin music, he calls it.
Sweet chin music. Sloppy-looking guy in the black cowboy hat at the announcer.
So that's Jim Ross.
Okay. Was he a famous wrestler?
No, just a famous announcer. A lot of people think he's like the best announcer ever. I think he's pretty rotten.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's been around forever and ever. Uh-oh, here we go.
That long arm just shot up onto the guy's neck.
Yeah. Uh-oh. So here we go.
Oh.
So we got him here. We got him.
Yeah, the production value is the highest of what we've seen so far.
Absolutely. Like, absolutely.
The camera knows exactly where to go, mm-hmm. and it's doing these, like when he hit the mat, when he threw Michaels down on the mat, right when he hit, there was this tight zoom that did the little in and out zoom, like choo 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 choo.
Yeah.
It's like it knew exactly what to do, you know, like right at that moment. And It yes. just everything seems a lot tighter.
Very tight. Now, did you like that? Like the zoom and kind of so it makes you feel like you're feeling the impact.
Yeah, like I could see the appeal to that. Yeah, I mean I'm noticing it, so I must be drawn to it in some way. It doesn't bother me for sure.
Yeah. So they still do that now. It's really egregious now.
I'll bet, dude. I will bet it's so over the top.
Yeah, it's super ignorant.
yeah.
Like this era, this probably the up until like probably 2011, the production is like awesome. It's yeah. they're at like a really interesting intersection.
Yeah.
Where they're doing some of that stuff, they'll do the zoom in, but it's not like that. There's still a little bit of taste. Now right. it's just, and it's been like this for several years. You'll like the amount of camera cuts per 30 seconds.
Oh my God. That would
be like 55 camera cuts or something.
I bet, dude. I bet.
Yeah, but again, and people say like, oh, like I can't believe they do that. Oh, it's so terrible. But it's the reflection of the culture, you know?
Yeah.
Like they're responding in like a low quality, stupid way to what's going on in pop culture.
Yeah,
know?
Totally.
Here we go. A Tombstone, Jordan. Tombstone. That's it.
Ooh.
That's his move. The Tombstone pile
Dude,
driver.
He's crossing him.
R.I.P.
No, that Look tongue. That. When he breaks the tongue out.
You love it.
I can't stand it. And you I don't know. It. He's a disturbing figure. He wins. He gets across what he wants.
Yeah. So there was a phase in his career where he was a biker. Like he cut his hair and he was a biker.
Oh my gosh.
And he would come out. He was known as the American Badass.
Oh my gosh.
And he would come out to the Kid Rock song.
No.
Yes.
That's funny. I was just thinking about that song, American Warrior.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Dude, and I was thinking about how I just a missed opportunity not really covering that song.
Yeah. Dang, you're right.
Yeah.
Shame
we
on us.
We used to go to the movies just to see that preview.
Yeah, we'd leave after. Go to the $3.
Yeah, go see him turn up that Marshall stack. Okay.
Plays Flying V.
Okay, so I've seen him do that like cut my throat motion before. So I'm assuming this is gonna wrap up right now.
It's the end that he's marking the end. It's the end of the line for old Shawn Michaels. And so did you get I don't know if you were able to get this in the video, but he's on a streak, an undefeated streak at WrestleMania.
Yes, yeah, I'm feeling that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that is something that is like legitimately, so he's not, he eventually lost a match. That streak was legitimately awesome. Like
everyone loves it, right?
Everyone loves it. It's like it was pretty impossible to not be invested in that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like even if it doesn't matter what else is going on WrestleMania, maybe it's the dumbest thing in the world, whatever. The Undertaker's match, seeing him win and seeing if he's going to keep the streak alive, that is like awesome. It's legitimately great. And it really makes you, like, believe.
Because yeah, I mean...
You have to go all in on it.
Yeah, streaks are compelling.
Yeah, no matter what, huh?
No matter what. I think people are fascinated by them. It speaks to what everyone is kind of interested in, you know? No matter what it is.
Do you think that's... Ooh. Do you think that's a uniquely American phenomenon?
I mean, I couldn't say, but I'd be surprised because it's like, it's kind of like it's about endurance, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like, wow, that guy played that many baseball games, or like he hit this many homers in a row or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It's like interesting, and people want to see how far like a person can do something.
Yeah. Well, do you think it's like, do you think it's primarily sports related then? Meaning like there's something inherent in I used American culture, but I mean like British culture with, or the rest of the world with football or soccer or whatever it's called.
Right.
Like, you know, I mean, sports are big everywhere. Sporting events.
I think that's the easiest like metric to measure it by, because it's sports, you know, that's like there's these things that you can measure.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to like measure streaks and other, you know, things.
Yeah.
But I think competition probably has a lot to do with it, you know?
Yeah.
That's, it seems human to me. It seems like, I think anyone could appreciate a streak, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, I have zero investment in this, and you tell me, oh, the guy's never lost, and I'm like, okay, let's see, you know? Like,
yeah.
I think anyone would, you know?
Yeah, I think so, too. I just wonder why that is. Like, if it's something that's kind of inherent because, like, we grow up and, like, sports is such a big part of American life, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. So have you been hearing the crowd on the?
Yeah,
on the,
I can't tell what the they're pin, saying.
But it's just like the pin,
yeah,
when someone goes for a pin or something. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They're like at that point in some of these matches we've seen where they've like gone the distance.
Yes. Yeah, you can tell. You know, they're really selling.
Yeah,
the exhaustion and all that.
Yeah, and everyone's cheering upon each blow.
Yeah, and that is something. I mean, so obviously this is very exaggerated. I mean, they're in front of 72,000 people, whatever it is. So they're playing to the back row. But
yeah,
I do think that's something that's cool about wrestling, is that there is an endurance element to it.
Mm-hmm.
That you. I mean, that, you know, they've been wrestling for a long time. That's real. Like, you're going to be tired.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, just playing around with your friends for a few minutes, it wears you out.
Yeah.
So the physical activity is, like, it's pretty impressive. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Yeah. And there, you see everybody stand up when they think there's going to be a tombstone pile driver, you know?
Yeah, right.
I saw a client at work who used to be, he's dead now, of course, but used to be a radio personality.
Oh, uh-huh.
And he would always correct anybody. Like, when I was there, he would correct me and his caregivers. He did the Toastmasters, too. You know the Toastmasters?
Oh, yeah, you told me about this guy.
Did I?
Yeah,
so he would correct
the language.
Yeah. I always think about that.
Yeah, pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think that's
dude. He just backflipped into the tombstone.
Into the tombstone.
That's a tombstone, right?
Yes, that's it.
Dude, and he's
that's
doing
it. That's
he
it.
Into the tombstone.
How about
it
that?
It took everything out of him, though.
Yeah. But yeah, anyways, that guy. So every time I'm doing a podcast or a lot of times just when I'm talking, I always think about whenever I say, you know, like, I always think about
he
that guy.
You. Yeah.
Well, cause that's
sometimes
bad. That's bad public
you,
speaking.
Yeah.
That's bad public speaking.
It's also just like when someone points out something to you that can't be like unseen or unheard.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So now you're just acutely aware of it.
Yeah. But they teach you that in broadcasting school.
Yeah, totally.
I'm sure they do, right?
Absolutely. Yeah,
here we go.
That head knock, that noggin fall.
Because he just, the whole body, it looks like he goes past the floor. Like he did, because the whole body just collapses straight right. down.
So. Yeah. So is he really going to tear into that guy at the end of this night? Like, is he going to
fight the cameraman?
And be like, dude, what are you doing, man? Like, what are you doing out there?
Yes. Yes. And the Undertaker, especially, because he's like a real veteran and a guy that is seen like as kind of a guy that's in control of things.
Yeah.
So for someone to mess up that, and I mean, he could have died.
Absolutely.
I mean, he landed straight on his head. To mess up, that's reckless, you know?
That's exactly what it is.
To mess up that badly with anybody is pretty unforgivable, but for it being the Undertaker is really bad.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's, even if it's not the Undertaker, look at how crazy he looks there. When the hair, he's got the big widow's peak, but the hair is kind of fluffed out on the sides. That's a heavy look.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. But anyways, just even if it wasn't the Undertaker and it was another guy who's like 6'10".
Yeah.
Doing that, I mean, that's like really, really bad. So, yeah. I from what I remember, whoever that person was, I think really got a talking to.
I mean, I'd have to think so. That's insane.
Yeah, and I, like I said, I want to say it was like a relative of somebody's,
like a favorite guy.
Yeah, totally. Like, hey, like come on, man, you know, my kid, like my kid, he's a wrestler. Like, can he do this? That kind of thing. Yeah. I could be wrong about that, but I think that's the case. So we'll go ahead and stop this. Well, I mean, let's watch the Undertaker leave.
Dude, is that Holyfield?
Yeah.
Yes.
Look at him. There's cool. A champ.
With his family, just like enjoying this.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I so recognize we'll, that we'll cool guy. Is that Jerry? Is that Lawler?
Jerry the King Lawler.
Dude, is that really his name?
Yes.
How did I know that?
I don't know. How did you know that?
What the heck?
Yeah, how did you know that? I'm going to go ahead and turn mine off. How did you know? Yeah, you can stop it. How do you know who Jerry the King Lawler is?
He wanted to beat someone up on TV.
Yes. I was just going to say.
Andy Kaufman?
Yep, that's it. That's
how
you know
it. I just don't know how I know his name.
I mean, he's a memorable... Did you see, like... I mean, you're aware of Andy Kaufman. You probably saw that Jim Carrey movie, Man on the Moon.
I did.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
So you saw that. I mean... Yeah.
I don't know. I'm a little impressed with myself. And now.
I'm very impressed. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm really impressed. That's pretty incredible, actually. It has to be from that, right?
I guess, yeah. I saw it twice. I don't know. He's in the culture. He's in there somewhere, so.
Yeah, because Andy Kaufman and specifically him fighting with Jerry Lawler on the David Letterman show. That's like a pop culture moment that kind of everybody remembers, right?
Definitely.
At least people our age and older. I don't know about much younger, but I mean that's something that we just saw several times growing up.
Yeah, I would think so.
And like I'm sure your dad has talked about it, and they used to show all these like Andy Kaufman documentaries on Comedy Central and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it's in the air.
It's in the air. I'm pretty impressed though that you recognized him and were able to remember his name.
I'm just like surprised. I'm just surprised.
Yeah. Me too.
That's
me too.
Cool cultural recognition he's got there.
Good for him. You know, he's a guy that some people think is the greatest wrestler of all time, Jerry Lawler.
Really?
Yeah.
And so is he still, like, in the universe there? Does he, like, announce and talk and do that, or?
He does. I don't know how much announcing he does. He's still involved. I think he might do, like, these kind of, like, pre-game shows or post-game shows at this point.
Okay.
He announced, you know, he was an announcer for a long time. I think they kind of forced him off the air to try to get, like, young blood in there.
Mm-hmm.
He had a heart attack on screen, like live. Yo. During a show. It was really something. He was, I think, if I remember, I watched it. I think he had had a match that night and then went back to announcing. And, you know, he was just announcing and... he had a heart attack, and his partner, who was announcing with him, just totally like, hey, Jerry, like, are you okay? What's going on? And then it kind of cut, the sound cut, you know. But the guy, the partner, was a total wreck for the rest of the show. I mean, obviously, right?
That's the dynamic aspect of this whole world that
yeah.
you just don't see elsewhere.
Yes.
I mean, things happen to people and stuff, but I don't know. I can never remember. I can't think of a similar scenario in, like, baseball, for instance.
No.
Like, oh, this announcer, like, he had a heart attack on the air, and, like, it's just, there's something so, like, it's just on the edge about, like, everything about wrestling.
Yeah, there's some kind of spiritual or cosmic phenomenon where, I mean, this man wasn't there's no reason why it should have happened on screen to him versus yeah, a baseball announcer having it happen to them
yeah.
on air.
There's yeah.
no reason.
Yeah.
But it does. You
yeah.
know?
It just does, and that's part of the weird world that is fascinating about it.
Yeah, it's some kind of, like, inherent, like, cosmic charisma or something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Jerry Lawler is, like, he's an all-time great. He's like, incredible. Yeah, he's really something. I love him. I don't know if I think he's the best in the world ever, but, I mean, he's really up there. He's truly, like, in the top tier of wrestlers. He's awesome. All right. So what do you think of that match?
Yeah, I was, I was pretty entertained. I think that it's kind of interesting. The tone seemed to change after the head drop.
Yes.
And it actually became more compelling to me.
Yes.
Regardless of if I would have known the severity, you know what I mean? Like, did he actually, like, hit his head or whatever? But there was just something that shifted there, and the moves became a lot more dramatic.
Right. And that was... Oh, go ahead.
No, I mean, I could tell that was part, like, you know, it makes sense, like, in the... It seemed like part of the cadence of the match, like, you know, obviously the match has to go somewhere, so, like, they're gonna take it to that kind of level, but it just felt... the beginning felt, like, very ritualistic, like, you know, okay, this is a WWF match, you know, like, it's these two wrestlers are wrestling. But, like, they kind of fell into this weird, intense rhythm, it felt like, after that.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that was by design? Do you think they had called that on the kind of went and improvised on that, or what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like the one guy could read The Undertaker pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it felt like. Like, it felt like they, you know, because we've talked about some of these matches where there's, like, no charisma and, like, no team play, for lack of a better word. Like,
yeah.
They're kind of just two guys doing their thing, and then it just happens to be a match or whatever. This felt like choreographed, like, they were working in tandem, and so I could tell, like, you know, that there was a plan to it, and like they're going a certain way, but it did feel like, yeah, it was ratcheted up like a little notch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know, at least to me.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But where do you think you would put this on compared to some of the other matches
we've
watched?
Like, I think that it's up there. Like, I could see, you know, you had said at the beginning, if you're telling me that someone thinks that it's, like, the best match, I mean, I couldn't really argue that. Whereas, like, some of the other, I mean, I can't argue any of them. I don't know anything about wrestling. But, like, some of the other ones, you know, it was maybe a little more head-scratching for me, like, to be like, oh, is that really, people think that's, like, the best one? But you know, what does that say about how, like, pedestrian it was? Because, I mean, it's appealing to me, and I'm about as pedestrian as you're going to get. Like, mm-hmm. So there is that aspect to it. I don't know, like, how high level it gets, but I could see why people would, like, be compelled by it and think it was, like, one of the greatest.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, what do you think about it?
So this is... this is a very interesting match because try to think about, so All Japan Pro Wrestling, that's that Japanese promotion we've watched some. Could you see this, what would you think if this, that they did the same moves, they took all the moves from the match we just watched and put that into All Japan Pro Wrestling with two other guys doing them?
That's interesting. That might be, like, too abstract for me to, like, be able to, like, think about. You know,
yeah,
I mean?
Okay.
Like, to come up with, like, a conclusion on. That's really interesting to think about, though. Like, I just don't have, like, an organized thought, but, like, could you tell me? I don't know. That's...
yeah, so this is my opinion on it, is that if you were to take the structure of that match and the moves that happened in that match and you were to put it in a different environment with two different wrestlers, I don't think that match is very good.
Okay.
The reason it's and so I think that match is awesome. Like, I love that match. I think it only works as a WWF match.
Mm-hmm.
WWE, it's WWE at the time. Whatever.
Sorry, I'm never gonna learn. I mean, that.
No, I'm saying WWF too, so it doesn't matter. But it only works because it's WWE. The production value is so high. It's in front of 75,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
It's these two larger-than-life characters who are performing this huge spectacle of a match with these big, over-exaggerated movements. Like, the punching exchange at the end,
mm-hmm.
was if you take that out of that context and you put it somewhere else, it's almost comical.
Uh-huh.
It almost looks like a Three Stooges routine or something.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, it's kind of interesting because it's like, it reaches that level for me, like, that's kind of where I'm coming from with it.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So it's, like, interesting to try to think of, like, you have a much more, like, trained and refined eye for the context.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So it's kind of, that's interesting. I never would have thought about, like, if you transpose the moves themselves into a different like atmosphere with a different style, with a different audience, becomes something interesting. I don't know.
And like Shawn Michaels, he was begging the referee to stop the match, and
right.
he was on his knees praying that the Undertaker wouldn't
right.
wouldn't get up.
Right.
Like
right.
that's so stupid.
Over the top. Yeah.
And it's becomes this melodramatic play that they're doing in front of these people, you know, rather than okay, this is a simulated fight between two athletes, right?
Yeah, and that's why it's appealing, is because it's it's theater at that point.
Yes.
It's a college education removed from like watching an opera.
Yes. Yeah. You know? And that only can happen, and that can only be good with WWE's production and their camera crew and the colors and the costumes and the crowd and the the stadium filled with people, you know?
Yeah.
So that, like, if you look at it as a wrestling match, I don't think it's necessarily as like a technical, we're going to pretend that we're really fighting each other or having this sporting contest. It doesn't really work that way. Mm-hmm. But as like I think this is the ultimate WWE match.
Hmm.
Because I think
it embodies like all those good qualities.
Yeah. I think it's like this and like Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant.
Right.
As like the two ultimate examples of what WWE is.
Got it. Yeah.
The Bret Hart versus Stone Cold Steve Austin match.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much you remember about that one. That is the match, and I think that's one of just a couple WWE matches ever to be like absolutely transcendent, in the sense that match is so great as a WWE match, but it's also so great as any wrestling match. Like you could take that match and put it in All Japan, or you could put it in Arena Mexico or in the AWA or something, and it's just as great.
Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying.
It's only, you know, it's the same match. It's maybe only slightly enhanced by high level production, but maybe it could be enhanced by a grittier production too.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Whereas that's
hard for me to catch onto at this stage.
Sure. I think
it's really interesting though.
Yeah. Whereas is this match, like, imagine if there were, I think that that AWA match, the Hennig versus Bockwinkel, that was in a smaller venue.
Yes.
So imagine if that had taken place in front of a couple thousand people, and you have Shawn Michaels, you know, you have the Undertaker diving and falling on his head, and then you have you have Shawn Michaels pleading, making these big gestures and pleading with the referee, and he's making these wild hand motions when he's punching praying. And all that. That can't work as well. And imagine the entrances, them trying to scale down an entrance like that.
Into some
casino in Vegas. You know what I mean? It's so you have to take this broad package of the entrances and the crowd and the lighting and the announcing and everything, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Hmm.
And that, like, that's why I think WWE is cool. But it's also, it pigeonholes itself.
Yeah, I was going to say, it kind of handicaps them, huh?
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, severely.
It's like a tempting path to go down, but it really kind of gets you in that one zone.
Yeah, and that's why it's so strange that WWE is what is synonymous with professional wrestling, and it's been like that again for 35 years, because professional wrestling is so different than WWE, and is much more, you know, every other promotion, WCW, New Japan Pro Wrestling, All Japan Pro Wrestling, the AWA, Mid-South, Memphis, all these other promotions that have existed in the past, mm-hmm. those are so much more interchangeable, and they're so much more representative of what pro wrestling actually is. The outlier and the weird one is WWE, but yeah. that is what is the most popular and is, makes the most money.
Right, they play on aspects of humanity and pop culture that propel them.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm always fascinated by how that happened.
Yeah, definitely. It's a real it's just savvy. The guy's just really savvy.
He's savvy.
But he's so sideways in a weird way. I don't know. It's bizarre.
I mean, it's deeply the psychology there is so messed up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the thing is he truly hates himself and truly hates professional wrestling. I mean, he tried to get into bodybuilding. He tried to get into movie making. He tried to get the XFL.
Yeah, exactly.
Two times. But he's always had this complicated, self-loathing relationship with his own wealth and success.
Right.
He doesn't call it, it's not called professional wrestling. They won't say wrestling anywhere. You know about that, right?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, man.
What is it? What?
So they're not allowed to say wrestling.
Are you serious?
Yeah. You didn't know
what
about this.
What the heck? I did not know about this.
Oh, good. Okay. So they won't. It's called WWE. Real quick history. It was called WWF, the World Wrestling Federation.
Yes.
Something
about the panda, right?
The World Wildlife Foundation. They got sued or something. So they had to change it to WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment.
Okay.
Eventually, they just dropped that and just called it WWE, which didn't stand for anything. WWE. And they don't say wrestling. They say sports entertainment. I'll tell you that they don't say wrestler. They say in-ring performer or performer.
Are you serious? The announcing and all that stuff?
Yes. There's this huge list of things that you're not allowed to say.
This is boggling my mind a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So they can't say it's sports entertainment. They don't say fans or crowd. It's WWE Universe or members of the WWE Universe.
This is strange. This is cult-like. I don't know. This is weird.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying about the aesthetic.
Yeah.
Look, it goes so much deeper than that. I can't think off the top of my head right now a lot of the other stuff, but
it's pretty unreal.
It's because but it's because his thing is pro wrestling is what my dad did. Because he inherited it from his father. Wrestling is what my dad did. We tell stories here. This is sports entertainment. We have on our shows musical performances, and we have these larger than life characters, and we have these dramatic stories that we tell, and that kind of thing. That's they don't really have wrestling matches. It's like they're, let's see, they don't say title match. They say championship opportunity.
Are you being serious right now?
Yeah, dead serious. They don't
so
say...
So do they call it WrestleMania? Do they have a WrestleMania? Does WrestleMania still exist? Yeah,
yes, WrestleMania is the one time that they will use, because that brand was already so strong.
Yeah.
They couldn't change that. They had to keep WrestleMania.
It's unstoppable.
Yeah. But, like, they don't... You know, the belt, the title belt.
Yeah.
The belt that you wear if you're a champion. They don't say you can't say title or title belt. It's championship.
This is pretty crazy. I don't know. This adds like a really weird layer to this whole thing.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in the middle of some documentary and there's this major twist, because I feel like... I don't know. It's really effed up, as it were.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm gonna have to really think on that. That's as an outsider, that's very, that just adds a dimension. I can't explain it right now. I'll have to maybe next time unpack it or something. But that's really bizarre. I did not know any of that.
Yeah. So what you have to do is you have to meditate on this, and then when we record our next episode, I'm going to ask you about it and just see if you've come to any kind of conclusions.
Yeah, I will. I definitely will. I find that very intriguing.
Yeah, because it creates, the whole thing is it creates its own world. It's its own universe.
Yeah, totally.
With its own social norms and mores. And customs.
Yeah, absolutely. That just really does something. I don't know. Yeah, let me think on that.
And you know what? I mean, the interesting part, he's been so big on sports entertainment. Sports entertainment, sports entertainment, sports entertainment. That's all that he just pushes that so hard and has, again, for 35 years. Right. And that now, a lot of the more extreme stuff has only been within the past 20 years, where like, no, you don't say wrestling, say belt. But
since like the turn of the century.
Yeah. But the sports entertainment thing, he's pushed for a long time. They're not wrestlers. They're in-ring performers, or preferably superstars. They're WWE superstars. Everyone's a superstar.
Wow.
That's
something.
Yeah. Now
something.
You got to think on it. And I want to hear your thoughts next time. But the real interesting part is he has pushed for this stuff so hard. How many people do you know that call it sports entertainment?
Absolutely zero.
Yeah, how many times have you ever heard the phrase sports entertainment?
I've never heard that before. Yeah. I have never heard that before.
Yeah.
And I would be very hard-pressed to find anyone that I know that's ever heard that isn't like privy to the world like you are.
Like your parents would not know
they
the
would
term sports
definitely
entertainment.
Definitely not. They'd see Hogan and they'd say, "There's a wrestler."
Yes. So what you have, you have this, because they know the WWF. If you said WWF, what is that? They would say it's wrestling, right?
Oh, you better believe it. Yeah, anyone I know would.
You have this completely dominating, overwhelming brand recognition. And they probably even know the logo.
Yeah, I would think so.
But it's not called what the guy wants it to be called. He's been able to control every single aspect of his own company.
Yeah.
And push this narrative so far, but at the end of the day, nobody calls it sports entertainment.
And everybody calls it wrestling.
And you'll even have like fans who will say in-ring performer or superstar or championship opportunity. He's been able to get these other phrases incorporated into people's lexicons and push that as what you're supposed to say.
Yeah.
But not sports entertainment.
Yeah, that's... You can't change what something already, when it already has such a hard semiotic hold on the culture. You cannot, that's beyond you. You can spend as much money as you want. Like it's, you know, it's just like a cult. Like the cult can call itself whatever it wants over and over again. And its people will call it that too.
Yeah.
But it's recognized by the world at large as a cult, you know?
As a cult, yeah.
So it's you can't escape that when you have all these signifiers, you know, the four posts of the ring and the guys wearing the kind of superhero-like underwear. And, you know, you've got these things, and it's just like there's too many signifiers.
Yeah. The only way would be if you didn't have the ring.
Yeah,
right?
you'd have to knock down the signifiers.
Yeah,
they'd have to look different, and they'd have to do something different in a different like setting, and therefore it really wouldn't be what he wants it to be.
Right, but well, I think I would argue that because he has gone on record before, and there's documents of him lamenting that he has to have wrestling matches. Because there's so much else going on. You know, you look at WrestleMania, there's so much else that they'll always have a band play a song. They'll have these celebrities make these appearances. They have these entrances.
Yeah.
They tell these stories. And he's like, he said, like, well, that he would like to be able to remove the wrestling matches from the shows.
Right.
Which is, I mean, that's truly like, that's the end result, right? Like that's the end game for all this anyways.
Yeah.
And a very interesting thing is that with something that's kind of become popular in WWE just in 2020 with the COVID thing is what they're calling cinematic matches.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're essentially like the Undertaker was in one this past year where, and it's supposed to be his last match or something. I don't know, but it took place in a graveyard. And it was shot like a movie, and it had the film, like the quality of the film was like an HD movie.
Mm-hmm.
And there was these special effects and all these kind of fantastical elements to it.
So he's already doing what I'm speculating on.
Yeah. And he's so
removing the scene and the signs.
Yeah. And so that's the end game for WWE. Like that's what he has always wanted it to be.
It's like a one hit wonder that doesn't want to play that song.
Yeah.
But it's the song everyone is just going to die for, and the reason that they're like tuning in and wanting to see you.
Yeah, and the reason they make money.
Yeah, and the reason they make money.
Yeah, fascinating.
Huh. Yeah, that's interesting indeed.
Yeah, so I think on this, the next time we record, I mean, realistically, I'm going to completely forget about it, but...
Yeah, I'll probably bring it up to you.
Yeah, okay, yeah, please do, because I'm sure I'll forget. We'll talk about it next time. But let's get out of here. Jordan, do you have any plugs?
Nope, just the ones in my hair. Where's your rim shot? Don't you have a drum kit somewhere? What kind of production is this?
Yeah, well, it's amateur at best. How much do you weigh right now?
I don't want to talk about that. I don't even know. I don't know, and I don't want to know, and I don't want to tell our audience of millions.
Huh. Okay. hey, real quick, speaking of hair plugs, you know I'm really into celebrities, like, looking at their hairlines.
You're fascinated by hairlines.
I'm really into it right
now.
You
bring it up often.
I saw a picture. It was like it was a bunch of different pictures. It was all guys like in their celebrities, like their late 50s. And it was like everybody, George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Robert Downey Jr., Jim Carrey, you know, everybody, Tom Cruise. And they all have these super full, just luscious heads of hair.
Yeah, that's their livelihood. They gotta maintain.
Yeah. I want to get. Awesome.
You're gonna get some kind of weird half-baked hair plug at one point. I'll bet.
Well, no, that's the thing with me is I'm the only person in the world that wants to go bald.
Yeah. That's true.
Jamie Foxx is another one. His is really good because it's like it's really low on his head and straight across.
Yeah, I bet it is.
Maybe that's what I want. Maybe I just want the hairline, like, to be really low on my forehead. But then still not have hair.
Yeah, you probably, you'll come up with something, I'm sure.
Like, I want to continue to go bald, but just move the hairline.
You are so ridiculous. These thoughts that go through your head are just so absurd. Oh my gosh.
Have I told you my bodybuilding plan?
No, but I'm sure you've got a detailed one.
So this is what I want. I want, are we still recording?
We are.
We are. We haven't ended the show yet. That's all right. I'll tell the world. Everyone can be on the lookout for me. 2021. This is what's coming. I want my thighs to get jacked. Really.
Dude. I doubt you're joking.
No, I'm not. Because the thing is I've got muscular thighs. That's the only that's like the best. I mean, you've seen me in my shorts I bought in Vegas, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that was like, yeah, that was a good day for me.
Yeah, you made some money and you plopped them down on some Thai boxing shorts or whatever that is, whatever they are.
Yep, Muay Thai shorts. But anyways, I want to get really, really like defined, jacked, huge thighs, and then not work out any other part of my body. So my thigh, like my calves, I want really skinny calves, no muscles in my arms. And then I want to put on weight, like my spare tire, get a real pot belly going.
Dude, but just have these like comic book thighs, like these like really chiseled Superman chiseled thunder thighs.
Yeah. And then with my Jamie Foxx hairline.
I think you're joking, but I also think there's probably a little nugget of truth in there. And some earnest desire.
Yeah.
It's
earnest desire. This is who I am.
This is who you are. Take you or leave you.
Yeah, this is me. All right, anyways, as far as plugs go, please follow me on Twitter, _ at underscore burning spirits. I've really launched a campaign, a social justice campaign against Burger King. They're going to pay for what they've done. They're going to pay for what they've
heck? Done. I didn't hear about that. You're going to have to tease us on that one. I'm going to want to hear about that.
Yeah. Let me just say they'll pay for what they've done. And wow. If you care about, humanity, the earth, anything,
pick a thing.
If you care about a thing at all, any kind of thing, you will not support Burger King.
Wow, that's heavy to me.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Please follow along. Please subscribe to all the different feeds related to Place to Be Nation. You got the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, Place to Be Nation pop feed, the North-South Connection feed, the Jenny Position feed. Please go over to the Facebook Greatest WCW Match of All Time Facebook group. Time is running out for you to make your top 100 list. As far as plugs, I do believe there will be a new episode of Jenny and the Gems coming out shortly, where we are talking about 1992 ECW. Horrendous, horrendous stuff. Thank you for listening, everybody. Again, do not support Burger King. Twitter account at underscore burning spirits for more information. Thank you for listening. Take care, everybody. Goodbye.